Erev Tov, good evening. This coming Shabbos is termed Shabbos Shira. On Shabbos Shira, we're going to read actually two genres of Shir. One is the Shira of Moshe Ubnei Yisrael on the heels and in the wake of Kriyat Yamsuf. And the Haftarah, of course, Hayadua, the Shiras Tevorah, the defeat of Sisera and his cohorts. The notion of Shira is a well-established principle in Halacha. The Gemara tells us that Ein Omrim Shira Ela Al Hayayin. Shira is expressed through wine. And that's reflected in many, many different venues where we actually use the Koshal Yayin. There is a Hidur Mitzvah, the Gemara says in Avim Sochim, quoted by the Poskim in Shulchan Aruch, to make when one has a zimun, birchas hamazon ala kos. It's not a chiyuv, but it's a hidur. We have a kos in birchas erusin. We have a kos in birchas nesuin. And in many other contexts as well, the kos yayin is a very central feature of that which we are, that's what we are doing. I want to mention that the shir is being given le'ilu nishmas, my wife's grandfather, Zechatzag Debracha, Alta Yisrael ben Mordechai. You have as well kiyumim of Shira without a kos. For example, Hallel is recited on Yom Tov, which is also an expression of Shira. Or in the Shemoneh Esrei, when the Kedusha is articulated, when we say on an ongoing basis, Nekadesh Hashimcha Ba'olam, Keshem Shemagdishim Osa B'Shmei Morom, and Chazal, the Gemara in Chulin, which we'll perhaps refer to a bit later. Ein amalochim omrim shira, ad sheYisrael omrim shira. We are essentially the source. We call Yisrael are the source of saying shira takodesh baruch hu. So, in the context of this week's parsha, Shabbos Shira and Kriyas Yamsuf, people were so overwhelmed by what they saw. Klal Yisrael, v'yamina b'Hashem Moshe abdo oz yoshir Moshe ubnei Yisrael. Literally, on the Shema began to express itself, began to speak. Vayomru Leimor. We were literally overwhelmed. Shira wells up within the person, and unquestionably, it bursts forth from the innermost point of one's pnimius. The Rishonim in Masechta Sukkah note that lulav that we take on Yom Tov of Sukkos is also an instrument of Shira. The Nanuim of the Lulav, which are a fulfillment, says Taisus and Sukkah, of the Pasuk in Dibre Hayomim, Oz Yiraninu Atzei HaYor, that we sing on Friday night in the Kabbalah Shabbos, which is also Shira to Hashem Yisbarach. But ultimately, the greatest and most significant proponent of Shira is the human being himself. Each one of us, each member of Klal Yisrael, in terms of our ability to sing to Hashem, to say Shira to Hashem, and we do so every Shabbos. And of course, Shira is also an established principle that has universal elements as well. Nishmas kol chai tevarech Hashimcha Hashem Elokeinu. Beruach kol basar tefo'er usromeim zichcha malkeinu tamid. But ultimately, David HaMelech is the model par excellence of Shira. Kol atzmosai tomarnu Hashem mikamocha. My entire personality is so suffused with the recognition of Hashem Yisbarach, I'm compelled to say Shira. I'm simply overwhelmed. Shira engulfs my entire personality. So, in the Shira tonight, Leilu Nishmas, my wife's grandfather, Alta Yisrael ben Mordechai Zatzal, I would like to explore the parameters of Shira and demonstrate how all of us can become a vehicle for such a profound Shira to Hashem Yisbarach. The Gemara in Masach Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Ches of Beis in Kol Kisvei, the Gemara there records a contradiction between two Ma'amori Chazal. One statement in Chazal, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Yehi Chelki Migomri Halel B'chol Yom. My chelik should be with those who say Halel on a daily basis. The second statement the Gemara cites is antithetical to this statement that I just quoted, namely, Hakor Halal B'chol Yom HaRezim Mecharif HaMegadif. One who says Halal on a daily basis is guilty of blasphemy. It's absolutely inappropriate. So there's an outright contradiction between one statement that clearly is very affirmative regarding Hallel on a daily basis, and the second that clearly interdicts the reciting of Hallel. The Gemara resolves the contradiction by stating that Rabbi Yossi, who praised the recital of Hallel, was referring to Psuvi de Zimra. That's the Hallel that we say on a daily basis. That's something which is praiseworthy. That's something which is desirable. Masha'enkin, the second Hallel, which is Hallel Amitri, that the Gemara forbade, that the Gemara interdicts, that is a Hallel that's associated primarily with Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, and the like. And that Hallel is limited to Yom Tov. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, in Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Beis, quotes this resolution of the Gemara LaHalacha. Says the Rambam, "V'shivchu chacham l'mi shekorei zmiros misefer tehillim b'chol yom, mitihila l'David atzof ha-sefer." The Rambam indicates that this is praiseworthy, that one says these miros of Tehillim, that which was composed by David HaMelech on a daily basis, referring to Psukim de Zimra, till kol ha-neshama tehalol ka, ukranogu likros psukim l'fneim al-achareim, v'tiknu bracha l'fneim ha-zmiros, v'hi, what bracha was enacted before, there's an introduction to these miros, Baruch Sha'amar, and the bracha at the end, which is Yishtabach. What's the distinction between these two forms of Hallel? Why is the first Hallel worthy of adulation? Why is that praiseworthy? Psuga de Zimra, and the Hallel of Yom Tov is an act of blasphemy, of Chir Fegidov, if recited daily. So I heard from my Rebbe, Moran Harav Soloveitchik Zatzal, the following Yisod. And this Yisod is articulated as well a number of times by the Goyin, Rabbi Meir Simcha Kohen Medvinsk, the Rashi Chochma Zatzal, and essentially the thesis that they present is the following. Hashem Yisbarach created the world and engineered it in such a way that it operates within the natural framework of Chuki HaTeva. There are many laws of nature that Hashem created and introduce into the very architecture of the Bria. Psuga de Zimra addresses those Chuki HaTeva. In the context of the Hallelukas, Hallelu Shemesh V'Yareach, we praise the sun and the moon. Hallelu Kol Koch V'Or, all the stars. Hallelu Shmei HaShamayim V'Hamayim HaShavei Al HaShamayim. V'Yamidem V'Ad Li'Olam Chok Nosan V'Lo Yavor. These are Chuki HaTeva. Immutable, built into the very psyche, into the very structure of the Bria that Hashem created, what we call nature, what we call Teva. Hehorim v'chol gvos, eitz pri v'chol arazim. Hachayo v'chol behema, remes v'tzipor kanof. And in effect, all of them are involved in what's known as Perek Shira. Ya'alu Hashem Hashem ki hum nitzgav, shmo levado, hodo al eretz v'shamoyim, bayorim kerem li'amo, tehila l'chol chasidah l'nei yisrael amkrovo halleluka. So essentially, Teva, nature, and Chuki HaTeva, the laws of nature, represent the constant ongoing handiwork of Hashem Yisbarach. Daily, Hashem sustains the entire universe. And that's why the Gemara says in Brachas, in a well-known Gemara, and Avdal Rebbeiz, Kol ha'omer tilu l'David b'chol yom shalosh pa'amim muftach lo shu ben olam haba. Tilu l'David, or Ashrei, which is written acrostically, utilizing the Aleph Beis, portrays the natural order that is inexorable in its consistency, in its steadfastness. So too on Shabbos, in the bracha of what's called Birchas HaMa'oros, that focuses on the theme of the Hashkocha, the divine providence of Hashem Yisbarach in the world of Teva. Again, the acrostic that's being utilized is the Aleph Beis. Kel Baruch Gidol Deya, the Beis of Baruch, the Gimel of Gadol, the Dal of Deya, and it continues along those lines. Heichinu Fa'al Zarei Chama, Tov Yatzar Kavod Lishmo, Mi'aros Nasan Tzvivo Suzo, Mem Nun Samach Ayin. Again, celebrating Teva, celebrating nature. So too the Aleph Beis appears in the well-known piyut that is often sung. Kel Adon al kol ha-ma'asim, the Aleph of Adon. Baruch u'mevaruch b'fi kol neshama. the Beis. God love the Tuva Malei Olam, Gimel, Das Usvuda Savimim Moso. And continuing with the Aleph Beis. So too, says Rashi in Brachas Abdallah the Beis, the Ashrei, Imsuda de Zimra, which is the very centerpiece, the epicenter of Psuda de Zimra. And we know that the Pasuk of Poseach Es Yodech has to be said with tremendous kavana. Says Rashi, there are two elements, two components of Ashrei. One is the Osi Ba'alav Beis, it has that acrostic. And number two, it has in it the Shevach, that the Ribbono Shel Olam sustains the entire creation. Hashem has provided sustenance for all of his creatures. Nosing Lechem L'chol Basar, or in the language of Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zonis Ha'olam, Mikarnei Re'emim Ad Beit Zekinim, from the largest, most gargantuan creature, to the smallest, almost insignificant kind of creature. And that Shira of Teva is also epitomized and very much embedded in the Mizmah that we say every Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh also celebrates Teva, the Hischachus, on an ongoing monthly basis. And there, in the Baruch Nafshi, we recite the following. Gvul Samto Bal Yavorun Bal Yishuvu L'chasos Aretz. There are boundaries. Ribbono Shel Olam has circumscribed, has delineated contours for Teva. HaMishalech Mayonim Banicholim Bein Horim Yalechu. Absolutely beautiful poetry. There are Mayonim, Nicholim, nestled between the mountains. Yashku Kol Chaisel Sadoi, Yishmu Froim Tzmoyim. Creatures, all creatures, are able to satiate themselves. Oshira Lashem Bechayoi, Azamra Lelokai Beodi. That Shira emanates from the wondrous majesty of Hashem's beautiful kaleidoscope of nature. Yerav al osichi anochi esmach b'Hashem, morabu ma'asecha Hashem, kulam b'chochma osiso, mol ha'ard kinyonecho. And it's no wonder that there is a perak shira that many are accustomed to say on an ongoing basis. Omar Rebbe, kol ha'isek b'perak shira b'ilam hazeh, whoever is involved in this parak of Shira, Zeicha, Lilmod, Ulalame, Lishmar, Vilaso, Sulakayim, Vitalmudo, Miskayim, Yodo. And such a person who is engaged in ongoing Shira to Hashem Yisbarach, so in effect, that person will be Nitzo, Mietzahara, Umi Pegara, for all types of situations of difficulty. Umechibut akever, from all the scourges of the grave. Umidina shogahenem, umichadlo shamashiach, umarich yomob, if one is engaged in ongoing song and praise to Hashem Yisbarach, he'll be zocheh limos hamashiach ulechaye olam haba. So in effect, this is Tuvi de Zimra in a nutshell. Teva, we are celebrating the beauty of nature. Last night, Beis Tvila, Yonah Avram was zeicha to hear a wondrous shiur from an outstanding professor. And we saw the wonders of Teva. I'm a student of science. So it was, Baruch Hashem, something that was absolutely a gorgeous presentation. We saw three different models. The beauty, the dynamics of Hashem's wondrous bria in different areas. However, there's a second genre of Shira that relates to Shira over a Nes, which is Lamala Midarach HaTeva, a supernatural, a Yeshua accomplished by a Nes Golui. The Ibn Ezra defines the Shem Hashem of Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud, as referring to Hashem as a Shoded, as a kind of robber baron. For a time, the Ribbono Shel Olam breaks through the Teva of nature and is compelled to perform Nisan. Beyond nature, the period of time associated with the Makos and Mitzrayim that we're reading about in these parshios, the sojourn of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar under the Hashkoch of the Amud HaAnon, the Amud HaEsh, also in these parshios, sustained by the man, Lechem Shemalach Yashoris, Oichlim, the Gemara says, a bread that's eaten by the angels, epitomizes the second Hanhoga of Neis, of the Lamala Midarach HaTeva, metaphysical, supernatural, beyond nature. this Hallel, which is the Hallel of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Hallel of the Yom Tovim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, all reflects this second Hallel. This kind of Hallel is called Hallel HaMitzri, and this Hallel, of course, is limited to Yom Tovim, days that celebrate the Yad Hashem above and beyond the natural laws of the universe. A simple maidservant, what she saw in Kriyas Yamsuf was not seen by the greatest of the Nevi'im, Yechezkel. Hayom roh vayonos hayarden yisov li'achor. Hehorim roktu chiyelin, gevols kivneitzom. The mountains were prancing and dancing. Malacha hayom kisonus hayarden tisov li'achor. And the answer is, milifnei adon chuli aretz, in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach, the majestic presence of the Almighty, milifnei Eloah Yaakov, ha'ufchi atzua gamoyim chalomish l'mayno moyim. The Meshechacha points out that both of these hanhogas, namely the hanhoga of Tzuvi Dezimra, of Teva, of nature, and the hanhoga of Neis, of the Malamid Derech HaTeva, are alluded to in the Tefillah of Ashrei. Chsidim, those that are devout and pious, those individuals that are connected to Hashem Yisbarach 24-7, they see Hashem Yisbarach in the daily routine of creation, of Teva. Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecho, v'chassidecho yivarchucha. The Chassidim give bracha to Hashem Yisbarach. How? Through kvod malchuscho yomeru, recognizing Hashem and his hashgacha in all aspects of nature. Simultaneously, but secondarily, Chassidim are also prescient to ugvurosecho yidaberu, namely, says the Meshechachma, to the Nisim that transcend Teva. Both these mahalchim, both these genre of Nes are embedded in Ashrei. However, the average person requires, number one, lahudia l'nei ha'adam givurosav, the handiwork of Hashem above the chukia teva, and then only subsequently, often, does he appreciate kvod hadar malchuso, Hashem operating on a daily basis l'fi chukia teva. It's rather implicit in the words of the Meshech Chochma, and also explicit in the words of Chazal and the Rishonim, that these two types of Shira, these two genre, that of Psuga de Zimra, which is essentially founded upon immutable laws of nature, and that of Halal HaMitzri, which is the one based on metaphysical, supernatural, Nisim Beniflos. So the question is, which is the preferred approach from the standpoint of Chazal? And the answer, of course, is elementary. A person who is not sensitive to the antenna of Chazal might incorrectly misconstrue, might incorrectly conclude that Halal HaMitzri, supernatural, miraculous phenomena, is preferable because it's more dramatic in its ability to cross natural bounds. Says the Meshech Chochma, this is completely and totally erroneous. The ideal religious experience is not based on Nisim, not based on miracles, but rather on the daily occurrences, as we say in the davening, v'al nisecho shebechol yom imanu, on the daily nisim, tog teglech hazachim, daily matters that take place. The dynamics of nature are far more powerful and passionate than the greatest of all nisim. So this idea and yesod is echoed clearly by a famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, last week's Parsha. The Ramban is quite explicit. After the Ramban articulates the tripartite function of the Makos, accentuating the existence of Hashem, underscoring his divine providence and Yecholes, and accentuating his omnipotence, writes the Ramban the following. U'menan yisim agluyim amefusomim anu meidim adem meide benisim anistorim. She'em yisoy da Torah kula. What is that? The foundation of Kol HaTorah? Neis Nistar. Nisim that occur on a daily basis. But how does one come to that? How does one see the godless of Hashem on a daily basis, which is camouflaged and couched within nature, within the natural framework? The answer is, from time to time, there are Nisim, Deilim, Umefusamim. There are overt, supernatural, miraculous kind of Nisim, continues the Ramban using a striking expression. She'ein la'odam chelek b'taras Moshe Rabbeinu. One does not have a share in the Torah of Moshe, and every Jew has a share in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But if one does not subscribe to this thesis, then one does not have a share in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to believe in every single event that occurs in our lives. Shekula misin. Ein b'em teva min hagu shalolim. Everything is Ness. Everything is miraculous. Ben berabim mebi yochid. That which occurs to a collective, a larger group of people. That which occurs to individuals. And the Ramban goes on to describe this barichus. And the Ramban clearly is articulating this in the sod that we just mentioned a moment ago, namely, all teva is Ness, representing the ongoing hashkocha of the Borei Olam. Every jot and tittle of our lives, every happenstance is founded on Ness. If a person says the Ramban does not recognize, does not acknowledge that fact, the Ramban says he has no share, chas v'sholom, in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. A Ness mefursam, a miraculous, supernatural kind of event, just comes to teach us to examine teva carefully. Let us recognize, let us scrutinize, let us be aware of what is happening around us, the handiwork of Hashem, the dynamics of a nice nistar, the al nisecha shebechol yom yimonu, is much, much greater than the al niflo secha bechol eis, bechol erev, baboki b'tzorroyim. Furthermore, the rotzon hakadmon, the will of Hashem is barach, was crystallized in the pasuk that we are familiar with, the beginning of Bereishis, where the seasons were set up. The routine of nature cannot be tampered with. Old kol yimei ha'aretz, zera v'kotzir, v'kor v'chom, v'kayitz v'choref, v'yom v'alayla, lo yishbosu, the chuki ha'teva, were implanted, are built into the very architecture of the Bria. And in effect, when Ribbono Shel Olam, from time to time, on a rare basis, chooses to use a Ness, supernatural, miraculous phenomena, it's either for the purpose of arousing our hearts to recognize the handiwork of Hashem in Teva, as Ramban pointed out in Bo and elsewhere, or it's due to the fault of man. Man is so sunk in moral depravity or tuma that he cannot be saved by natural means. And that's a well-known Medrash Rabbah on this idea. When the Ribbono Shel Olam was compelled to go down to Mitzrayim, Va'erei lahatzilo miyad Mitzrayim, a Yerida, and the Ramban of Vayigash describes this concept, a Yerida l'tzorech aliyah, Hashem had to descend into the tumah of Mitzrayim. Says the Medrash, Mashal l'koyin shenafal tumas l'beis hakvaros, the tumah of a koyin, tumah is that which is given to the koyin, the tumah is tahora, the koyin has a mitzvah to eat truma. If chas v'sholom the truma becomes tamei, then it requires sreifa, the mishnah at the end of Maseches Tmura. So truma will have to be burned. The kohen can be nene, can have hanah from that truma, and kol hanisraf and afron mutar. But the medrash gives the mashal to a truma that falls into a cemetery. So the kohen is now in a quandary. Omar ma'ese, what should I do? The tamei esatz me, I can't go into a beis hakvaros, I can't go into a cemetery. But I can't leave my truma there. So what should I do? So he comes to the conclusion, I'll become tamei on a one-time basis, and then I will purify myself, but I won't lose my truma. So too, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, our forebears in Mitzrayim, Avoseinu, were the truma shakadosh baruch hu. Reishis Yisrael Hashem, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reishis Tivuasa. We are compared to the tomb of Hashem Yisbarach, as mentioned by the Ramban in the beginning of Reishis. Hoyu Bebeis HaKvaros, we are in a cemetery. Dichsiv Kiein Bayis Hashem in Shom Beis, Mitzrayim is likened to a cemetery. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Lahanicha Miyeshar, I can't let my children remain in the cemetery. Mutav Leiredu Lahatzilam, better I should go down to a Mokom Tomei and save them. Shenema va'eved la'tzilam yam Mitzrayim la'alosem in ha'aretz ahi. The Chachmei HaMedrash clearly see the descent of Hashem Yisbarach to the doldrums of Egypt as being a yerida l'tzorech aliyah, and Hashem is constrained to act shalo l'fi chvodo in order to save Klal Yisrael. The Gemara Masechah Shabbos on Daf Nun Gimel Beis cites a wondrous event. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Ve'echad Shemesa Ishto, a tragic story of someone whose wife passed away, V'nicha Bein, a young child that required nursing, had to be nursed, V'lohelo Schar Minika, Litein, He didn't have the ability to pay for a wet nurse. V'nasa lo nes, a miracle occurred. V'niftichu lo dadi kishnei dadi isha v'heini gespeno. It was a massive miracle, and now he's able to go ahead and nurse the child. Omer Rav Yosef, bo rei kama godol olam zeh shenasa lo nes kazeh. Look at the greatness of this individual that such an nes occurred. Abai reacts immediately. Adraba, kama garua adam zeh shenishtanu lo sidrei bereshis. Ribbono shel Olam had to change the chuki ateva and had to undo the chuki ateva and perform a miracle, and that's something which is garua. That's not ideal by any means. The position of Abaye that I just mentioned is clearly the normative position of Chazal and clearly the normative position articulated by the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. Furthermore, religion that's based on lemala midrach ateva cannot possibly prosper and thrive. The tragedy of modern man is that he identifies metaphysical and natural phenomena. The two, from his perspective, coalesce. Chazal declared that is incorrect, inappropriate assumption. To invoke Halal HaMitzri daily is an act of blasphemy, for it ke'ilu compels Hashem Yisbarach to engage in an act of Yerida to short-circuit the natural processes of nature. On the contrary, the klal of the halal of Sukkot Zimra that we say, and the klal that the Gemara recites in Shabbos, kolom halal b'chol yom, that's considered to be desirable and preferable, but that celebrates the dynamism of the natural law that Hashem put into place. We say in the Shabbos davening, the mizmor shir yom haShabbos, tov lehodos Hashem ulezamer leshimcha elyon. It's good to thank Hashem, to sing to Him, and yet we don't say halal on Shabbos. On Yom Tov we say halal on Mitzri and not on Shabbos. And the question is, why not? Shabbos appears in the litany of Moadim that are found in Emor. It's the first Moed. So the Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud asked this question, and the Gemara answers, Shabbos lo ikri Moed. One of the criteria for halal, there are several criteria. One of the criteria is Moed. Shabbos is not called the Moed, and therefore we don't recite halal. So my father, Zatzal, asked me, what do you mean? It's the first Yom Tov mentioned in the Parshas HaMoadim. Before all the other Yom Tov were introduced, we introduced Shabbos. And even Rashi and Chumash asked the question, Ma'in and Shabbos Yitzel HaMoadim? Eile Moadim Hashem Mikroi Kodesh Hashem Tikro Asam HaMoadim? And Shabbos is introduced. So what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says Shabbos is not called Moed? So I heard from Moreno HaGoyin and Rabbi Avigdor Levinsohn Shlita the following pshat. Halal HaMitzri was only enacted over a nes that represents a shinui in Teva. When there are changes in Teva, when Hashem was compelled to descend from His lofty perch, because otherwise the situation of Klal Yisrael would have been catastrophic, horrific. So Shabbos epitomizes the very opposite. Shabbos commemorates the Seder in Teva that was established by Hashem in Sheshes and Mebereshes. A Seder Nifla, the ultimate and absolute harmony, the harmony of all the elements of nature. And again, Professor Nissim Shlita last evening showed that in such a beautiful way, the interaction of all the elements, the force in the universe, the way they operate in the most synchronized, incredible kind of harmony imaginable. Shabbos testifies to the orderliness and not to the deviation. Moed represents deviation. Moed represents Nes, as we mentioned. Moed represents the metaphysical, the supernatural. But Hashem, in the ideal world, wanted the following to be fulfilled. Vayara lo kibes kol asher osa v'nei toy meid, mizmo shir liyem ha-shabos. Tov lehodos Hashem, ulezamer l'shimcha elyon. Everything is sholem. The world is mushlam. There's no need to deviate from Teva. The chuki ha-Teva founded upon one ris chochma. That's the essence of what Shabbos is all about. Vayara Elokim es kol asher asa v'nei tov me'od, vayera vayiboker yom hashishi. And therefore there's no need to say halal on Shabbos, because Shabbos is not founded upon the superstructure of Nes, but Shabbos celebrates Teva of the entire week. My Rebbe Moran Harav Soloveitchik Zatzal noted that these two different genres that I just described, namely, Psukah de Zimra and Halal HaMitzri, He contended, one can see this in the lives of Avram Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Their lives are a stark contrast, essentially, of Hallel, of Suga de Zirma versus Hallel HaMitzri. Let's examine Avram Avinu. He discovered Hashem is brought through the cosmos, as the Navi Shayo testifies. Su marom enechem uru mi bara ele. And Avram Avinu, we know what he did. The way the Ram describes in Perek Aleph Hilchos Avodah Zarah and the Midrashim at great length, Avram Avinu examined the stars. He saw the majesty of the sky. And the way the Medrash writes, did the sun ever rise in the west? V'chulu v'chulu, klum yotza chava mamarav. Hashem is Baruch, even at one point, pines for Avram Avinu. Namely, V'eirai al Avram el Yitzhak el Yaakov ekel shako yushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. And as Rashi quotes from Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, Hashem has, in effect, tremendous hishtokikus. Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtachin. Chaval that Avram Avinu, Avosinu akdoshim, are no longer with us. Hashem longs for the avos. How did Avram Avinu discover Hashem? Through the beauty, through the symmetry of nature, through the halal of Sukkot Dezimra. Hashem, after all his indefatigable searches, that is Avram Avinu. Finally, Hashem identifies himself to Avram Avinu when he sees that Avram is searching and searching. Anihu balabira. I'm the balabos of the universe, Hashem tells Avram Avinu. On the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu was exposed to the modality of Halal HaMitzri, Halal Shonesh. His entire interaction with Klal Yisrael is founded upon a slew of Nisim Gluyim. From the moment he appears on the scene in the context of the Sneh till the end of his journey, it is completely and totally the antithesis of the modality utilized by Avram Avinu. With Avram Avinu, the Torah says, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. In contradistinction to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Isha Elohim, or according to the Zohar HaKadosh, Bailo de Matruniso, Kishem Hashem Ekro HaVugodol Elokeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu articulates the Anog of Halal HaMitzvi, Kishem Hashem, then HaVugodol Elokeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Rambam, is Bechir Min HaEnushi, the ideal human being. He is the Adon HaNeviim, distinctive in his Kohar HaNevuah. He is the Mechokek, the lawgiver, the architect. He is the Nesin HaTerah. And yet there's a quality which we see from the Avos that is absolutely sweet, generous. The Gemara says in Brachas, Ein Korin LeAvos El HaShlosha. Only three individuals have the capacity to be called Avos. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Only mention vis-a-vis the Avos. Even in the context of the Sneh, Hashem appears to Moshe and tells him, Al tikrav halom, don't come near. Shal niolecho mi'avaglecho. Ki amokom ha-she'ato omer olov ad maskodeshu vayomer onuchi Elokei Avraham Elokei Avicha. And then Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the term that the Torah utilizes, it doesn't say Elokei Moshe. Vayaster Moshe panov ki yorei mehabit elho Elokim. Why is that so? So my Rebbe, Maran Harav Soloveitchik Zatzal, suggested that Elokei Avraham is in the construct state, what's known as the smichus. It's the Yachas HaKinyan, like Beis Ovi, the house that belongs to my father. Elokei Avraham means the God that belonged to Avram Avinu. Elokei Yitzchak, the God that belonged to Yitzchak. Elokei Yaakov, the God that belonged to Yaakov. Meaning, the Balabais was Avram Avinu, and the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviocha was his Kinyan. Avram Avinu was Koine, the Ribbono Shel Olam. The God that belonged to Avram and belonged to Yitzchak and belonged to Yaakov, by dint of Avram Avinu's search and perseverance, he was zeicha to a kinyan, kaviyochol, in the Bari Elam. And that's why Elokei Avram, he discovered Hashem Yisbarach, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. How does one affect a kinyan in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And of course, the answer is the psukim in Vayeschanan, Uvikashte misham es Hashem Elokecha u'matzasa, ki sid v'shenu b'chol levavicha, one who seeks out Hashem Yisbarach, the way Avram Avinu did, described so beautifully and so majestically by the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Kevan shenigmal eson zeh, once he was weaned, Avram Avinu, his chil l'shoyte b'dayto, began to reflect, he began to contemplate, V'hu katan, he was a young child. And the Rambam continues. V'hischil lachshav b'yom v'alayla v'ya tamea. Hey, Chefshar, how is it possible? She agalgal hazeh, no itomi v'lo yelo mani igumi yisavi v'oso. Ki yiefshar she yisavi v'satzmo. How could this world exist without someone who's directing traffic, who's orchestrating, it's functioning? And Avraham Avinu said the Rambam had no Rebbe, had no teacher. He was sunk in the quagmire. He was surrounded by Evdi Avodah Zorah. Lahoy lo melamed, v'lo modi adov, v'lo mushka bur kazdim en Evdi kachov matipshim. He was surrounded by an environment of foolish idolaters. His entire environment was steeped in idolatry, including his parents, who were, and he among them. But his heart continued to ponder, says the Rambam, achehisig derech ha'emes, till he understood the truth. Behavin kav hatzedek mitfu nosu ha'nechona. From his authentic understanding, he then knew sheyesh eloka echad bu manin ha'galgal, bu bara ha'kol, vein b'chol ha'nimtza, eloka chutz mimenu. So Avraham Avinu was the one, says the Rambam, that Ben Arboim Shona, who was 40 years old, he came to the recognition of Hashem Yisbarach. So either he discovered Hashem Yisbarach at the age of 3, as the Ravid is Masig, or the age of 40, my Rebbe always contended, it was a process, it began at 3, and it culminated in the age of 40, but Hashem did not reveal himself till, the Rambam indicates, till the age of 75. So Avraham Avinu acquired HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the Balabayis, and Hashem was his kinyan because he sought him out. Uvikashtem misham es Hashem Elokecha umatzasa. One who seeks out Hashem is Barach and does so biyegia uba'amola, honestly, sincerely, earnestly, unquestionably, they'll be able to discover the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Avraham Avinu revealed Hashem is Barach through the modality of the halal of Psukah Dezimra. Unlike Moshe Rabbeinu, who's surrounded by Nisim, a plethora of Nisim, the Man, and the Slav, and the Amud Hanan, and the Amud Aish, and the Eser Makos, and Matan Torah, and on and on. Avraham Avinu finds Hashem in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and in the galaxies, and the heavenly constellations. Moshe Rabbeinu, in sharp contrast, doesn't seek out the Ribbono Shel Olam, but rather, Vayera Elam Hashem Belabas Eish Mitoy Chasne. Vayar Bine Asne Boer Boesh Vasne Nenuuko. Hashem is Baruch was the one who found Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is the Eved Hashem par excellence. Moshe is the one who is the servant. The way the Radak writes in Sefer Yoshua, Vayom Hashem Yoshua is also considered to be Eved Hashem. But undoubtedly, Moshe Rabbeinu's encounter with Ribbono Shel Olam is through Halal Mitzrei. Through Nisim, Hayom Ro Vayonos. After the Cheder Ega, Moshe Rabbeinu is compelled to search for Hashem and teach Am Yisrael Yud Gimel Midos Shavachamim. So we have, in effect, a very stark contrast between two different modalities, two methodologies. Avraham Avinu discovered Hashem through ardor, through rigor, through incredible, strenuous labor. That's Halal Psukah Dezimri. Moshe Rabbeinu is a completely, markedly different nature. It's founded upon the Ribbono Shel Olam, revealed himself to him, to Nisim and Niflos, to Halal HaMitzri, Lemala Miderech HaTeva. We have chosen to hallow the derech highlighted by the Halal of Psukah Dezimra, the Halal that was modeled by Avraham Avinu, and not by the Halal HaMitzri, modeled by Moshe Rabbeinu. One who wants to encounter the Ribbono Shel Olam and to have a religious experience has to do so via Tamuru kitov Hashem, Ashrei Gever Yechsebo. Lahavdil, the nations of the world, the Umas Olam, their religions are fundamentally founded on the modality of the supernatural religious experience. The other religions don't really interfere or infringe on one's private life. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God. A rather blasphemous kind of statement. They don't demand any personal sacrifices in one's daily life and regimen. There's no Mesiras Nefesh. But a Jew, a Ben Torah, a Torah Jew, has to be a Shem HaMitzvahs, has to be a Mavakesh, has to search out Hashem Yisbarach if he wants to have a real encounter with Ribbono Shel Olam. He has to relate to Mesa Nefesh for Torah Mitzvahs. He has to discover Hashem Yisbarach through the Halo Psukah Dezimra, through the daily, regimented, routinized behavior of davening three times a day, of being kovei to my Torah, of observing mitzvahs, of doing chesed. Our model is Avraham Avinu, not in his initial odyssey and trek to discover Hashem Yisbarach, but in the subsequent fulfillment where the Torah testifies, Ki yedati, if Hashem says, I love him, leman asher yitzaves, bonaves, beso achra, v'shomu derech Hashem, lasot zdoko mishpat. One of my chaverim was a famous Rosh Hashiva. He told me he was once many, many decades ago in a conference in Boston with a very well-known personality, Timothy Leary. And he was advocating, he's a guru for drugs. All of us have to have euphoric experiences and we have to literally be transported to a world beyond the laws of Newton's gravitational pull and the like and engage in supernatural experiences, psychedelic in nature, and precipitated by drugs and alcohol, who knows what. And then this Rosh Hashiva presented the Orthodox Torah perspective. And of course, how do you possibly compare one to the other? One is exciting. One is thrilling. One is full of fun and the like. And the other seems to be humdrum, routinized, regimented, perhaps even boring. But the pasuk says, Ki yedati, Hashem loves Avraham Avinu, because he's a paragon of tzedakah and chesed in his daily life and his interaction with others. It is achnas ha-sorchim, in his manifold acts of chesed designed to influence others towards the derech Hashem. He is indeed the father of kiryat v'chokim. Es ha-nevesh asher asu v'charon. What Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu did is absolutely sweet, generous. That's effected not by the halal mitzvah, not by wondrous supernatural kind of action, but by the halal psukah de zimra, the daily tog teglich hazacha that I mentioned earlier, the daily discipline lifestyle of our avodas Hashem, consistent and well founded without deviation from the course. Let us perhaps for a moment translate or extrapolate from these two genres to the world of chinuch, of Jewish education. There are many outstanding qualities that characterize this door, this generation. It's indeed searching for authentic Jewish values. And to that end, has rejected and to a certain degree shown disdain of what it considers to be compromise or a lack of genuineness. As a result, the door has witnessed a proliferation of Baruch Hashem. On the one hand, many yeshivas, many seminaries, outreach programs, all types of kiryat venues, chesed projects that are nothing short of being legendary. The number of young people involved in the study of Torah in one form or another has grown exponentially. Me'idach Gisa, on the other hand, the allurements and enticements of society at large, the availability and use of hard and soft core drugs, the increased alcohol binges, the so-called smartphones, iPhones, a world of tweeting, and all types of other social Facebook venues have wreaked havoc with young men and women, even from Orthodox Jewish families. The numbers of people on the one hand who, Baruch Hashem, have absorbed Yiddishkeit and its beauty and attached themselves to its lodestar has burgeoned. On the other hand, the number of young people who have left the fold, assimilated, acculturated, also unfortunately, tragically, has doubled and trebled. We are betwixt and between massive forces that are pendulum-like seesawing us between all types of antithetical poles. In this kind of tumultuous setting, it's becoming increasingly more difficult to be mechanech, balanced children, whose value system is in sync with Torah ideals, who have a healthy ability to interact with others wholesomely, with all types of people, while anchored in the terra firma of Torah perspectives and Torah hashkafa. The swings and moods of youth and the oscillating, rhythmic ups and downs are dizzying to behold and almost impossible to get a bearing on. Fundamental value systems of the Cheretz Kodmo L'Teira, basic mitzvot with Om L'Chavero, what one might term a Girsa de Ankhusa, something that one should absorb asthmatically, has almost disappeared entirely. Only strong role models can hopefully alter the tide. A Rebbe can no longer just teach Torah, V'chassal, and essentially, after his majestic performance leaves the scene, he has to make his imprint on Talmidim by interacting with them, by befriending them, by developing ayanic bonds with his charges, by connecting with them in every way, shape, manner, and form. Talmidim are wont to latch onto a charismatic Rebbe, dynamic and passionate, who can light a fire under them. It's a kind of generation today that almost seeks a kind of Kalbach experience 24/7. Of course, that's well nigh an impossibility, and ultimately an era of epic gargantuan proportions, because Yadus is a confluence of both the cognitive on the one hand, and on the other hand, the passionate experiential modes, but it's ultimately the day in and day out observance of mitzvahs, practicing of chesed, development of character, steady limud haTorah, that will form the balanced personality that we so desire. In effect, what one has to do is essentially use as one's model the Hallel of Psukah DeZimra. That's the foundational element. That's the basic superstructure that undergirds the entire chassis. And of course, midei pam b'fam, there's a need for Hallel HaMitzri in one's life as well. More critical is the need to imbue young men and women with the skills, with the perseverance, with the steadfastness that comes with not only the Hallel HaMitzri of inspiration, but primarily and preeminently the Hallel Psukah DeZimra of perspiration. It's inspiration versus perspiration. And if I were to ask for percentages, I would say 75% perspiration, and perhaps we'll be masking to 25% inspiration. It's the work ethic that will anchor them and root them in their appreciation of Torah and mitzvahs, building B'nai Torah, B'nos Torah, on a basis of solidity can grow and flourish. This combination of Hallel HaMitzri and Hallel Psukah DeZimra, Hallel Psukah DeZimra being the foundation and Hallel HaMitzri being, if you will, the icing on the cake, the cherry on the duvdavan, undoubtedly both are necessary. Clearly, we have to be able to somehow present a hybrid of both, and undoubtedly, the muscle that I always use, I know very little about sports. I'm not a sports aficionado, never really was, somehow nimshach to that which today is very common among many youth. Not only are they into sports, which probably is a healthy thing somewhat, but then we have all types of dimyones, fantasy football, and all types of other fantasies that people are into. And I realized after a while that it's all based on one pasuk, Va'kesef yaneh sakol. Or the way I read the pasuk, Va'kesef yaneh takol. If you want a distortion, then of course money can distort everything and can present a skewed view of the entire world. So as a young boy, I remember playing American football and assuming the best way to reach the goalpost is through this long, dramatic, exciting touchdown pass. I don't know, we have here some outstanding South African Rabbonim in front of me. I'm not sure they're familiar with that particular sport. Maybe they are. Unquestionably, when one attempts to throw that long touchdown pass, most of them fail to reach the receiver. Often they're intercepted. Often they're deflected. Often they're underthrown. Often they're overthrown. But essentially, they fall short of the intended goal. So when one did succeed in throwing a touchdown pass, it was greeted with all types of unbelievable cheers. Wow! That completely swept everyone off their feet. But after a while, I realized that percentage-wise, the amount of success that people had with that kind of modality was probably 15, 20% of the time, maybe, perhaps even less than that. Maybe in halacha, it would not even be called a mir tamotsui. On the other hand, when we move towards the goalpost, slowly, methodically down the field, using all types of football lumbus, screen passes, proper blocking, losing some downs, gaining some downs, losing some yardage, gaining some yardage without putting ourselves in jeopardy. It was obviously more difficult, clearly not as exciting, perhaps even humdrum and boring, but in many respects, far more successful. Again, these two modalities are eminently necessary. Primarily, the Hallel of Psukah DeZimra, but undoubtedly, it must have as well elements of Hallel HaMitzri. One who wants a kinyan HaNefesh with the Ribbono Shel Olam must opt for the slower and methodical Hallel of Pesukah Dezimra, which is ultimately more successful, albeit less charismatic, albeit less flamboyant, not the Hallel HaMitzvah of inspiration, which all of us require from time to time periodically. But the Hallel of Pesukah Dezimra will help us grow little by little. As Chazal say, and they speak about this in many, many different ways and many different surahs, that one literally can go ahead and be Mosif, Pruta, Al Pruta, Al Pruta, Binyan, Al Binyan, Levena, Gabi Levena, Gabi Levena, developing beachheads, developing footholds in every rung of the ladder. And this essentially is what I believe the two genres of Shira are all about. I just want to comment on another Gemara in Zvachim on Kufta Zayin, which is a Machlokes Tanoim, the beginning of next week's Pasha, Pasha's Yisro. The Torah tells us, Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan. What did Yisro hear that he became so enamored, so connected to Yahadut, to Judaism? Mashmu Hashama Uba Vinit Gayer. It's a Machlokes. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Milchemet Amalek Shama Uba. You heard about the war with Amalek. Because the Pasuk says, Vayachlo Yeshua Samalek Vesamo Lefi Chorev. Rabbi Loza Omer Kriyat Yamsuv Shama Uba. What's the nature of this argument between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Loza? It appears that the argument perhaps relates to the aforementioned discussion that we just had. There's a fundamental distinction between Kriyas Yamsuf and Mohammed Amalek. Kriyat Yamsuf is totally founded upon the yisod of Halal Mitzri, an overt miracle, totally saturated with Nisim every step of the way. Mohammed Amalek, on the other hand, at least Klape Chutz, appears to be more in sync with the natural kind of event. True, the Ramban notes in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah that there were two playing fields, so to speak, that of Yeshua leading soldiers in battle, and as well the playing field of Moshe Rabbeinu, Vaya Kasher Yom Yodah Moshe, the Govard Yisrael, and the Mishnah, the Chiyodov Shemeshe, Oisos Mulchama, Shevres Mulchama, El Kozman Sheyisrael, Mistaklin Klapim Malo, Umishabdim Mislibum Lavim Shema Shemayim. Of course, they were Manatzeach, Hayim Isgabrim, practically, there's no distinction between the Hanhoga of Halel of Pesukah Dezimra and Hanhoga of Halel HaMitzri. In both cases, the victory will ensue. In both cases, the enemy will be vanquished. However, there are fundamental distinctions between the two approaches. On the one hand, there's a striking advantage to this Lamala Midah HaTeva approach, the Hanhoga Nisus, the Halel HaMitzri, because the presence of Hashem is then clearly perceptible, clearly felt, even by the Pshutei Am, even by the masses. On the other hand, with the Hanhoga Tivis of Chuki HaTeva, of natural law, man is called upon to make enormous Yaman efforts, a Hishtadlus, and not remain passive to develop his personal Kochos. But in this Hanhoga, of course, there's a great Sakona, that a person will Chas V'Sholom think that Kochi V'Yotzem Yodi Oso L'Yesachayel Azeh. A person might forget behind his Atzlocha stands Ribono Shel Olam. So which of the two approaches is preferable? So as we mentioned earlier, it's clear from the Ramban and from many Rishonim that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants the approach of Hallel, which is Pesukah Dezimra, day to day. But at the same time, there's no question we need as well the Hallel HaMitzri to buttress, to supplement. So Rashi, when he quotes in the beginning of Yisro, this Machlokes, Mashmu Hashama Uba, Kriyas Yamsuf or Mechamas HaMalek. So Rashi paskins that both approaches are valid. The Hanhoga that accompanies the person most of the time is the Hanhoga Tivis, the natural Hanhoga of Hallel Pesukah Dezimra, giving you the opportunity to develop. But simultaneously, we're witness to the Nisim Gluyim that Hashem is Baruch has wrought, and who can deny that Hanhoga as well? One has to learn how to see the balanced formula used by Hashem is Baruch so harmoniously in the delicate interplay between the two, and ultimately recognize that both of them represent Yad Hashem. I just want to be messiahing this discussion with a very famous comment that I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. In the Kedusha, we say, Lu'umasam Baruch Yomeru. What does that mean? We know that the Gemara writes in Megillah, on Daf Chof Gimel, Kol Dav Shem B'Kedusha, anytime there's a dialogue between the Sheikh Tzibur and the Tzibur, that requires asara, requires a minyan. So the question is, we know that when Kriyas Yamsuf occurred, Bikshu Malachi Asharis Lomashira. The Malachim wanted to say Shira. So the Litvaks among us, including Rav Chaim Briska, answer, how could they say Shira when the Gemara says that you need Asara? Malachi Asara says no concept of Tzibur of Asara, non-existent. So the Gemara says in Chulin, Ein Malachi Asara is Omrim Shira Lamala, at Sheyomu Yisrael Shira Lamata. The Gemara that Tzadakal from Abayz in Chulin. First we begin, and then the Malachim are able to join in. Vayoriyu Kol B'nei Elokim after Beron Yachad Kochfei Boker. The concept of Tzibur is not at all relevant to Malachi Asara, the angels. They can't say Kedusha. But once we begin, once the surge comes from Klal Yisrael, once we are overwhelmed by the majesty of Hashem Yisbarach and feel the need to express ourselves in the most heartfelt kind of fashion, then the Malachi Ashores can join in as well. And this is what we say in the Musaf. Kvodo Mali Olam, Meshosef Shalom Zelo Zeh, Aye Mikom Kvodo, even though his covenant is absolutely universal, but the Meshosef of Hashem asks, Aye mikom kavodo. How can we say kedusha? And the answer is luumasam baruch yomeru luumas klal yisrael. Once klal yisrael say kedusha, then the malachim can say shira as well. And this is very much embedded. Rav Chaim Briska said in the Sfaradik nusach of Musaf, kese yidnu lecha Hashem elokeinu malachim amoni malo imam cho yisrael kvutze mata yachad kulam kedusha lecha yishaleishu. The Malachi Ashores are the heavenly, palatial servants of Hashem Yisbarach. They're called Hamoni Mala. They have no din tzibur, and therefore they're called Hamoni Mala. When can they say Kedusha? Only Imam Chol Yisrael Kvutzei Mata. When Klal Yisrael gather together to recognize the godliness of Hashem Yisbarach, and we are so overwhelmed by His majesty, by His charismatic handiwork, and we therefore as a tzibur say Kedusha, that means kibbutze mata, say kedusha, yachad kulam kedusha l'chayishaleshu, then the Malachi Ashores can join and sing as well. And that's exactly what Rav Chaim Briska pointed out on another famous kasha. My father Shalom was also bothered by this kasha. Batan lohem Miriam. Lohem is obviously Loshen Zohar. Miriam is speaking to women. So there are two pshatim. One pshat is that she was responding only to women. The other pshat is lohem. And in fact, as a result of that which the male folk began to sing, so once they began to sing, then the women also joined, and all of Klal Yisrael were involved in Shira to Hashem Yisbarach. Halavai that all of us should find, each one in our own lives, a way, a formula, that we can somehow combine, create this kind of hybrid, that our lives should be primarily founded upon Tog Teg L'Chazachim, daily, Nisim of Halal of Suga de Zimra, realizing the greatness of Hashem in the daily Chuki Ateva, and Midei Pam Bafam, Bizochet to the icing on the cake and the cherry on the Duvdavan of the Halal Hamitri, which is normally associated with Yom Tov, and together we can create that harmony and that balance. And in effect, we can Bizochet, Oshiru Hashem, Ki Go Go, Sus Vereichloi, Rama Vayom, Halavai, we should Bizochet to sing the Shira and be zeicher with that Shira to welcome the Kor of Mamish, Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'meir Yomeinu, Amen V'Amen.